live from the historic parsonage of the 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27 verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Labor Day on the 7th day of September 2020. And this is Monday, September 7th, and I am thrilled to have back one of my favorite returning guests. In fact, I'm still very confident he holds the title for the most interviewed guest in the history of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio since we first launched in 2005. His name is Phil Johnson, and he's the executive director of the media ministry of Dr. John MacArthur, pastor of Grace Community Church in Sun Valley, California, and world-renowned Bible teacher and author and teacher on television and radio. And the Grace to You ministry is one of the most valuable ministries in the media because it is certainly one that has not caved into the pressure of being politically correct and to softening the truth to spare the feelings of the masses. And I thank God for Grace to You ministries, and I thank God for not only Dr. John MacArthur, but also Phil Johnson, our guest today. We are going to be discussing, can critical race theory be reconciled with Scripture? And it's my honor and privilege to have you back again on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Phil Johnson.
Hey, thanks for having me, Chris.
And if you could, before we go into the topic at hand and some additional information about Grace to You, for the sake of our Christian listeners that are perhaps very new Christians and haven't heard of Grace to You. I think you would have to be a very new Christian not to have heard of Grace to You. And even some of those that are not Christians at all who listen to the show. But before we do that, if you could let our listeners know why we are not discussing a topic that we originally were going to at least discuss in part today, and that is we were going to give an update on John MacArthur versus the state of California and all of the things that are going on at the hands of the governor and other authorities in California because of Grace Community Church's refusal to shut down their services or comply with other mandates that seem to be an intrusion on Christian freedom and liberty to worship as we please. But if you could, let us know why we're not going to be talking about that.
Yeah, because the case is still in litigation. So the legal team have asked all of us who are connected with Grace Church not to make sort of public statements that talk about why and how and what's going on. The last hearing was on Friday, and the judge said he would take the case under advisement and make his ruling sometime this week. So we expect it, of course, no earlier than tomorrow, because today is a holiday. The judge won't be there. So we're just waiting for the next ruling, and I'm sure people will be able to read about it in the news or see it even on Twitter as soon as the judge issues his ruling.
And we might even see Dr. MacArthur on one of the Fox programs or elsewhere, as he has been a more frequent guest than ever there discussing these things, if very briefly, but he's still been given a voice on there. And we will be sure to give you updates as we can. Well, I'll let our listeners know, for the sake of those who are probably a very tiny percentage in our audience who are unfamiliar with Grace to You Ministries, let our listeners know about that.
Yeah, Grace to You is the media ministry of John MacArthur. Our goal is to expand the scope of his teaching ministry using mass media as widely as possible. So we are on radio, on the internet, and pretty much everywhere media goes. There's even a television program, Grace to You, weekly. And just basically broadcasting John MacArthur's teaching ministry as it comes from the pulpit of Grace Community Church.
And if anybody wants to have more information about Grace to You and where they can either watch the television program or hear the radio program or anything about the books written by Dr. John MacArthur and other valuable resources provided by Dr. MacArthur and Grace to You and Grace Community Church of Sun Valley, California, go to gty.org, gty.org, which stands for Grace to You. And one of the reasons I know that you wanted to discuss this critical race theory, we have addressed this before on the show, and we've addressed all things that come under the umbrella of the woke movement and the Black Lives Matter movement and other Marxist movements that have infiltrated even allegedly conservative and allegedly reformed Christian churches and denominations and fellowships. But one of the reasons is that our president has pleasantly surprised many folks who are opposed to these movements and who consider them dangerous by something that he recently did. If you could pick up where I left off there.
Yeah, on Friday, actually, the president, through the office of, it's called the Office of Budget and Management, I think, issued a memo where he has canceled funding for all of the diversity and inclusion training, which is basically sort of propaganda sessions to teach critical race theory to all government employees. The government's been doing that for about a decade. It started by an executive order of Barack Obama. And they paid millions, literally multiple millions every year of taxpayer dollars to indoctrinate people in critical race theory, which is basically a kind of neo-Marxist approach to identity politics and class warfare. In my opinion, it is the poisonous foundation under which all of the current unrest and rioting has more or less been fomented.
And so
Trump put an end to it on Friday, and he says that government agencies, and by the way, they were doing these training sessions for the FBI, every government agency, and from now on, government agencies won't be able to have those sorts of training sessions.
Well, praise God, and you have said that it's quite a shame and quite a blemish on the church and quite an embarrassment that this president of ours, President of the United States, Donald Trump, who I have a strong feeling you would agree with me in lacking confidence that he is a truly regenerate person, and yet he has stepped up to the plate and had the courage to do something that many leaders in theological circles that you and I would travel in have not had the courage to do.
Right. In fact, you contrast this move on Friday, canceling the indoctrination of CRT from government employees, contrast that with what occurred at the Southern Baptist Convention National Meeting 2 years ago in 2019, where they passed a resolution, the infamous Resolution Number 9, declaring critical race theory a helpful analytical tool is the way they said it. And of course you can see the influence of that in, among Southern Baptist leaders, in, you know, what we refer to sometimes as Big Eva, the large organizations like Together for the Gospel and the Gospel Coalition, which have shifted their focus over the past 5 years so that now they talk really more about social justice and other issues that grow out of the critical race theory worldview. They seem more concerned about that, frankly, than they do with gospel truth anymore. So while this movement has been growing among evangelicals, its effects can be seen in the secular world because of 10 years of indoctrination. And I'm glad to see that finally ending at the government level. I think this is a classic example where, as Jesus said, the sons of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than the sons of light, where you have a secular leader with more showing more wisdom than some of our spiritual leaders have shown.
And why don't you give a little bit more detail on exactly what this critical race theory is?
Right. Critical race theory is an expression, it's a neo-Marxist view of social issues, racial issues in particular. Marxism looked at economic disparity, and critical race theory has taken the Marxist theory about economic disparities and applied it to race. And so everything now, you see this on the nightly news, everything is a racial issue. And if you disagree with certain policies, whether they actually have anything to do with race or not, you can be labeled a white supremacist or a racist or whatever. For people who have never heard of critical race theory or they're interested in finding out what it is, I'll recommend the Wikipedia article. I don't always recommend Wikipedia, but I think it's helpful to get an overview of something like this. And it's a pretty thorough discussion of critical race theory, what's entailed in it, and with lots of quotes from people who promote and propagate ideas borrowed from critical race theory. But you've heard of intersectionality. That's another term that gets thrown around a lot these days. Intersectionality is the notion that there are various ways to be oppressed in various levels of oppression, and they're different for different people, but it always has to do with the identity group. It's not so much an individual thing as it is the group you belong to that defines how oppressed you are. So that if you're a white person, you could be the poorest person, you know, living in your car, and yet critical race theory says you benefit from white privilege and you need to check your privilege. You are a racist. You will always be a racist. And so these ideas have become quite common, and you're expected to sort of make a public confession of your white privilege and renounce it. It becomes almost a religion. In fact, I wrote an article a few months ago, I think it was titled Wokeism is a Religion, or Wokeism is a Hateful Religion was the title of it. It's at my blog. You could do a Google search for that title, Wokeism is a Hateful Religion, where I pointed out that this type of thinking that grows out of critical race theory has, you know, its own views of confession, kneeling and, you know, reciting a prescribed confession rather. It has its own rituals. It has even its own hymnology. And it's become a kind of religion. And I think that's one of the issues that leads to the president saying, we're not going to do this kind of indoctrination for government employees, because it really, in effect, becomes a kind of government establishment of a religious credo.
Now, you mentioned moments ago things that you consider to be a part, or not just you, but have been generally been a part of what has been nicknamed the Big Eva. Can you repeat those groups that would be under that umbrella?
I think I mentioned the Gospel Coalition, Together for the Gospel. Those are two big ones. And it's interesting because the history of those two organizations in particular goes back about probably 15 years now. They were founded in the later half of the first decade of this new millennium. And they were founded it seemed at the time to refute the dogmas of the emerging church movement. The emerging church movement was a sort of left-leaning movement of disaffected evangelical young people who had grown up, for the most part, in pragmatic churches where, you know, the seeker-sensitive style religion, where there was more entertainment than teaching. While they went by the name evangelical, they really didn't have a grasp of basic evangelical truths. And the emergent generation began reading things, looking for a little more in-depth approach to Christianity. And some of them were drawn back to, you know, medieval forms, formalism and all that. Others were drawn to the notion of social justice. And it was a hodgepodge of a whole lot of different ideas that all had one thing in common. They wanted to deconstruct classic evangelicalism, historic evangelicalism, which I would define as true evangelicalism. What the term originally meant was it's a system of belief that centers on the gospel, that says gospel truth is the center of everything. That's what we need to cling to, and that's what would keep us theologically straight if we do. But evangelicals actually moved away from that, and by the middle, really, of the 20th century, I think evangelicalism had become, had come to mean something entirely different. And, if you do a Google search for how to define evangelicalism, you'll find there's a plethora of different definitions of what people think evangelicalism is. And the movement itself became so broad and so shallow and so devoid of any real doctrinal conviction that when the emerging church came along, they just wanted to dismantle that whole system. But it ended up being an attack on pretty much every principle of orthodoxy as well. And so the emerging church movement faded away and dissolved within a decade, as I predicted it would at the time. I wrote many blog posts about it and criticizing what they were doing, what they were saying, how they were attacking the authority of Scripture and the historic Christian faith, and the movement died, as was predictable. But the thing that has survived is some of the ideas that they threw around, and the main one is this whole idea of social justice, that the gospel isn't complete with the story of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection as an atonement for sin. But they say the other half of the gospel is social justice, and the church needs to be fighting for social justice. And it draws the church into all sorts of, you know, political realms, and usually makes younger Christians, I think, more sympathetic to leftist notions. And so the idea of critical race theory is very appealing to someone who thinks this secular notion of social justice is part and parcel of the gospel. And what happened, and what has happened in really 5 short years' time, is that these concerns about race and justice and all that have begun to overwhelm and cloud the gospel message itself. So these two organizations that were both founded as a response to the emerging church movement, because they saw the emerging church movement beginning to assault even the doctrine of atonement, the idea that Christ died as a substitute for sinners. That was anathema to most in the emerging church movement. And the founders of Gospel Coalition and Together for the Gospel wanted to defend the whole notion of substitutionary atonement, which is a great goal. I was supportive of both movements when they began. But when they took up the issue of social justice, the same thing has begun to happen in those two groups as happened with the emerging church movement. They've moved off message, and we refer to that as Big Evo, because that is, I think, the biggest segment of the visible evangelical movement. And there are lots of people, I think, who think if you don't go along with the party line there, if you're not sympathetic with Big Evo's thrust towards social justice, then you're doomed forever to be an outsider and in the minority, and you'll lose your voice. So there is that threat, and then, of course, even in the secular realm, critical race theory tends to address all of its adversaries by simply labeling them racist. And once you acquire that label, once somebody calls you a racist, it really doesn't matter if you have a racist bone in your body or not. If that label can be successfully attached to you in any kind of public propaganda or whatever, regardless of whether there's any truth to it or not, you forfeit your voice in public discourse. So as a result, people are afraid to take positions that have been associated with anything that's conservative or traditional or, in our case, biblical.
Yeah, and we have to be clear that we are not vilifying everybody whose name is attached to either the Gospel Coalition or Together for the Gospel, who may not even agree with the critical race theory or the woke movement or the Black Lives Matter movement at all. But for some reason, they find a useful voice being a part of the internet media and the conferences that they offer. Obviously, it's a debatable thing whether they should be doing that, but I even know men who have vilified friends of mine for being parts of other things that occasionally will have some bad apples involved in them. And they, how dare can that person be a part of this or that conference and that kind of thing. And those are things that good men will always debate about until we're in heaven, I think. But
right, and I'm not talking about, I'm glad you said that, because to be clear, not talking about individual people here. I've specifically refrained from mentioning anyone's name on that, but I am talking about the direction those movements are going, the message that comes from the organization, what they put on the web, what they put in their tweets. It's begun to be more and more focused towards issues of social justice and less on the message of Christ himself. I think that's an indisputable fact, and which is not to say, as you said, that everyone connected with those organizations is therefore, you know, guilty in some way. I think there are lots of good, I know there are lots of good men who are and have been associated with the movement. But the drift of the movement is a matter of concern. And I think the more clearly we say that, the better the message will come across.
Now, what do you think is the reason why men who are, it seems, on the surface at least, to be theologically orthodox, to be even theologically affirming the same doctrines of sovereign grace that you and I affirm and that Dr. MacArthur affirms, and that many people, or if not all of those who signed the paper on social justice, which is a very strong critique of the social justice movement, and obviously connected with that, the woke and Black Lives Matter movements. Why is it that some of these men, even those that may have been on the same platform with you at conferences where you have been sitting there listening to them speaking, going, amen, amen, and enjoying fellowship with them, why on earth are they endorsing these things?
Yeah, you know, I'm reluctant to speculate as to motives, but I think there are a lot of genuinely good people who think somehow, because they haven't really maybe contemplated the issue carefully enough or studied it deeply enough, they think that because the word, the expression social justice has the word justice in it, it's the same thing as biblical justice, but it isn't, and many of us have made that argument repeatedly. Why it doesn't seem to penetrate, I don't know. But I think things are changing. I think what you're seeing even in secular society right now is a shift, because it's becoming more and more obvious that all of the talk about critical race theory, social justice, all of the propaganda that we've been fed has not done anything to quell social unrest, but everything to stir it up. there's more racial animosity in America now than there was 15 years ago. Things aren't getting better because of all this talk about social justice. It's getting worse. And, you know, the narratives are easily debunkable, but the problem with, you know, these postmodern times in which we live is that logic really doesn't matter as much as the dominant narrative. You don't have to prove your case logically anymore. You just have to have enough people repeating the narrative. And so we've got a generation of people who really haven't been conditioned to be critical thinkers. And what you're seeing is the effect of that. And it goes right into even evangelical leadership, where there are lots of evangelical leaders who I think don't have the capacity because they've never really learned or practiced critical thinking.
And isn't one of the reasons why this is strange that biblically solid men, theologically sound and faithful men, are endorsing these things, especially those who have a passion to oppose racism, is that these very movements are endorsing racism itself. It's amazing to me how anyone could be blind to the very painfully and palpably obvious fact that the folks who are leading these movements are promoting racism. They're promoting the idea of judging people by the color of their skin, by the lack of their melanin content, by the lightness of their appearance, rather than the content of their character, as from the famous speech by Martin Luther King Jr., who longed for a day then when men were judged by the content of their character and not the color of their skin. It's just amazing to me how anyone could not see that this is obviously, and I say that in all capital letters, racism that they are promoting.
Yeah, but the fact that you see that, Chris, suggests that you haven't been thoroughly indoctrinated with critical race theory. Because one of the principal tenets of critical race theory is the idea that you cannot be a racist if you're a member of the oppressed class. So black people can't be racists. Minorities can't be racists, generally. And racism is an effect of white privilege. So it only goes one way. So you can despise somebody because of his skin color if you're not white. But if you are white, even if you don't despise somebody because of his skin color, you're susceptible to the charge of racism. So it's redefined racism. And even anti-racism, which is what you just described as racism, a critical race theorist would say that's anti-racism. What you just described is anti-racism. Even though, you know, by the classic definition, by any reasonable definition of racism, it is racism for a person who may be a minority with darker skin to hate people, other people, because they're not members of his ethnic group. You and I would say that's racism. They would say, no, that's anti-racism. We're simply responding to, that's the proper way to respond to white privilege, to hate it. There's some videos on YouTube that are just astonishing when you look at it. This is the kind of thing that the presidential order bans. Look up some of the YouTube videos that show these training sessions for critical race theory. And you'll see that they're basically indoctrinating people to think in a kind of backward way about what racism is, so that you may not hate anybody, but you're a participant in systemic racism simply because of the color of your skin. It's not anymore about the quality of your character. It is all about the color of your skin. And they don't see that as racism. They see it as anti-racism. It's simply a redefining of terms. You can only do that in a postmodern approach to language and deconstruction. But because we've got, you know, two or three generations thoroughly indoctrinated in postmodern ways of looking at language and reality, where the narrative is what's important. You name your own reality. And reality, in fact, is a social construct. Once you buy into all of that, then it seems to make perfect sense, even though it's totally irrational.
Well, we have to go to our first break right now. If anybody wants to join us on the air with a question of your own, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. And please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Obviously, if you are opposed to the critical race theory and all connected movements, you might be fearful of losing your job by speaking out publicly and identifying yourself. Well, so we will grant your request to remain anonymous, but feel free to remain anonymous if it's personal or private, but please, if it's not, give us your first name, city and state, and country of residence. We'd also like to hear from anybody who might wholeheartedly and aggressively agree with critical race theory. They think that we're off the wall, we're wrong, we're racist. Well, feel free to send in a question. That's chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Don't go away. We're going to be right back right after these messages from our sponsors.
Here's what Gary DeMar, president of American Vision, had to say about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio recently.
Good to be back, Chris. I always enjoy our time. You, I have to say, you're one of the better interviewers out there, and I've been doing this for more than 30 years.
Wow, that's some compliment. How much do I owe you for that?
you don't have to owe me anything, so we're in good shape.
I'm glad you said it on the air, so I don't have to brag about myself.
Tell your friends and loved ones about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, airing live Monday through Friday, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time at IronSharpensIronRadio.com.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island, is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bob Waldeman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402. Or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
Was your business shut down during the COVID-19 pandemic, depriving you of earning any money, causing you to default on your rent as you try to survive without income? Maybe you've had to close your doors for good. The good news, you thought, was that you purchased business interruption insurance as a part of your business liability policy with a major insurance company who told you they are a good neighbor, or that you would be in good hands. You filed a claim only to be told that it was denied due to the pandemic exclusion clause. The pandemic exclusion? Since 2006, most insurance companies added this clause to enable them to deny your income loss claims in the event of a worldwide pandemic. Do not give up. No matter what state you live in, call Buttafuoco & Associates now at 1-800-669-4878. Buttafuoco & Associates is a part of a large multi-district litigation, and they are working with lead counsel to bring what they believe will be a successful lawsuit for these claims. It is the best way for you to proceed. There's absolutely no risk to you. You do not have to pay them out of pocket, and there is no fee unless you recover on your claim. You need to call 1-800-669-4878 right now. Trust the law firm where the attorneys at one of the largest business firms on Long Island, New York, are sending their own clients for representation during this lawsuit. Buttafuoco & Associates. here to help business owners rebuild their lives in the wake of the pandemic. Call 1-800-669-4878.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to ptlbiblerebinding.com. That's ptlbiblerebinding.com.
We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's L-E-E-S, drugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
Greetings in the matchless name of our Lord Jesus Christ. My name is Banu Gotti. I'm a pharmacist in New York, which is the epicenter of the latest crisis the world is going through. In Psalm 139, verse 14, the psalmist offers praise to the Lord like this: I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and wondrous are your works that my soul knows very well. He saw God's goodness and mercy, kindness, and the beauty in what God has designed, and he has erupted into praise. In any crisis or problem, brothers and sisters, our only fallback position is to trust God's design. And once we do, there is nothing for us to do but to erupt in praise to him. When the whole world is searching for a solution, God, in his infinite mercy, has given us what we need to address this illness, which can be very serious. Such is the beauty of his design. Knowing that design, how can we not erupt in praise to our great God like the psalmist did? May God bless you and give all of us wisdom to see greater things in his design. Thank you.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005. The publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White of the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnzen. If you just tuned us in, our guest today is Phil Johnson, the executive director of John MacArthur's media ministry, Grace to You. We are talking about the theme, Can Critical Race Theory Be Reconciled with the Bible? If you'd like to join us on the air with a question of your own, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Please, as always, give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. That's chrisarnzen@gmail.com. And Phil, I don't remember if this was something we discussed prior to the show or something you said on the air today, but even if you did mention it on the air, if you could go into more detail about how this discussion reflects on Luke chapter 16, verse 8. The sons of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than the sons of light. It had some connection to our president, Donald Trump, making a wiser and more biblically faithful stance against this stuff than many of our so-called Christian leaders.
Yeah, I think his order to terminate this sort of training in government agencies it shows a great deal of wisdom. He can see, I think, as most people should be able to, that all of the rhetoric about white supremacy and systemic racism and all the code words that you keep hearing these days, this has done nothing to quell racial division. It's done everything to make ethnic hostilities worse and worse and worse. You see that every night on the news in the riots that are taking place in American cities. I think he realizes correctly that it's the worldview that is at the foundation of this kind of violence. And it's a destructive worldview. It's actually moral insanity at its root. And if he can see that, it amazes me that evangelical leaders, so many evangelical leaders, don't see it as clearly. But evangelicals are talking about critical race theory as a valuable tool, you know. And so it is a classic example of what Jesus was talking about when he said the sons of this world are wiser in their generation than the children of light. Sometimes worldly people make decisions that are better and wiser than people who ought to know better. And I think one of the reasons for that is the church tends to follow the world. It's not what we're supposed to do, and in fact, we're commanded not to love the world, not to imitate the world. Scripture's full of commands like that, and yet, if you just survey the past 50 or 60, well, you could actually go even further than that, the past century of evangelical movement, watch what the evangelical movement has done. Evangelicals love to imitate the world. They change their church services so that instead of Christian liturgy, you know, they're following whatever is popular in the world. Instead of preaching scripture, they'll exegete the latest, you know, popular movie or novel or whatever. And one of the besetting sins of the evangelical movement has been its tendency to imitate the world. So maybe they'll imitate President Trump's move on this and begin to back away from critical race theory. I hope so. You know, if you want a sample of what these critical race theory training seminars look like, there's been one that's floating around on Twitter the last couple of days. It's actually a couple of years old. It's by a woman named Ashley Shackelford, who does lectures on inclusion and diversity, the very kind of thing that President Trump has just said taxpayer money shouldn't fund. And there's a video of her. It's a short video, but she's standing there in front of some whiteboards on which are written, "All white people are racist." That's in large terms. All white people are racist. When the camera turns around, you can see she's lecturing a group of white women who are nodding and smiling and, you know, following this. And one of the most shocking things she says along the way is this, and this is an exact quote from her. She says, "I believe white people are born into not being human." I believe white people are born into not being human. She says white people are subhuman, basically. And which, of course, is on the face of it, as you said earlier, that is racism. But critical race theory says, no, if that comes from an oppressed class, and she belongs intersectionally to multiple oppressed classes. She's black, she's a woman, she's overweight, all of that. So she gets all these intersectional points. She can say something like that, and no one who's bought into critical race theory will dare tell her that's a racist thing to say.
Well, that sounds like it comes right out of Louis Farrakhan's handbook, because, and believe me, I'm not making this up, Louis Farrakhan and the Nation of Islam cult, which is not even true Islam, they are guilty of shirk, according to true Muslims, because they believe God is a black man, and to believe that Allah has any partners, which would be any mixture of God and man at all, is the worst sin you could ever commit. But putting that aside, the Nation of Islam believes that the white man, the white race, was created by a mad scientist in a laboratory. And I'm not making that up. So, that's...
Yeah, well, you know, some of the contemporary critical race theorists have actually said things that make Louis Farrakhan sound like a moderate. This woman is critical.
You want to give us some examples of that?
Well, she also, in the same breath practically, says that white people are demonic, that we're raised and taught with demonic views, a demonic tendency. So stuff like that, that's very common. Her white audiences are expected to confess the sin and, agree with her. If you disagree, you will be labeled a racist yourself.
Let's go to some of our listener questions before we have to go to the midway break. In fact, I'll just go to one of these questions before the midway break. We have John in Bangor, Maine, who says, even though you have connected these woke and related movements with atheism and Marxism, obviously those who are Christian among the supporters of these movements claim that the broader evangelical world has ignored or fallen short from addressing the theme of how sinful and wicked and damnable racism truly is. So how do you respond to those who say, we are merely trying to address an issue that seems to be ignored or that many pretend doesn't exist, that people are thinking of themselves more highly than they ought, which is forbidden by Scripture, and that they are indeed racist in looking down upon those of darker skin colors? How do you respond, Phil, to those who are claiming that they're just trying to follow the example of Jesus in identifying bigotry and racial hatred as sin, and then they're trying to do something about it?
Well, I think every sane person would say actual bigotry, actual racism is sin. To hate someone because of the color of his skin, that is sin. I think it's a twisting of history to say that evangelicals have overwhelmingly been guilty of racism or pro-slavery or whatever. Slavery, the first major opposition to slavery in the world came from William Wilberforce in England, who was himself an evangelical. And evangelicals in general have always opposed the oppression of people based on skin color or ethnic background or whatever. There have been people in evangelical circles who've been virulent racists, no question about it. We all deplore that, I hope. And no one wants to see the resurrection of Jim Crow. But I would say this is the mirror image of Jim Crow, what's happening today with Black Lives Matter and the riots in the street, the turnabout of society's values based on racial identity. And identity politics itself suffers, I think, from the very same error as Jim Crow was based in, identifying people according to whatever ethnic group they belong to or how they look or whatever. That sort of identity politics is simply its own brand of Jim Crow, frankly. And that's what it's going to lead to. And that's why unrest in America is getting worse instead of better. And all of this is based on a twisted history. It's absolutely untrue that evangelicals in general have shown a pattern of, being racists. So I disagree with that reading of history. I think it's totally wrong. And I think if you read a bit about the evangelical luminaries who fought against slavery, in fact, ultimately, slavery in the Western world was done away with because of the influence of Christianity.
Amen. And we will be going to our midway break right now. And please be patient with us, folks, because this is the longer than normal break in our show, because Grace Life Radio, 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, requires of us a longer break in the middle of our show so they can air their own public service announcements and other announcements that localize Iron Sharpens Iron Radio to Lake City, Florida. So therefore, be patient with us as they do that. We air our globally heard commercials, and we would ask of you to please make wise use of this time by writing down the information provided by our advertisers so that you make them happy and that they are more likely to want to stick around supporting the show financially. Because keep in mind, folks, we absolutely depend upon our advertisers to exist. The finances that they bring in to the show compensate for the lack of funding that comes in through donations. And we always thank our very generous, benevolent financial donors who keep this show in existence alongside our advertisers. But the donations alone could not permit us to remain on the air. So please patronize our advertisers as often as you can, even when it's impossible for you to patronize them, at least thank them for supporting Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. But also, write down questions for Phil Johnson about critical race theory and send them to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. And as always, give us your first name, city and state, and country of residence if you live outside the USA. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Phil Johnson. Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio here. I want to tell you about a man I have personally known for many years. His name is Dan Buttafuoco. Dan is a personal injury and medical malpractice lawyer, but not the type that typically comes to mind. Dan cares about people and is a theologian himself. Recently, he wrote a book titled Consider the Evidence for the Bible. Ravi Zacharias wrote the foreword. Dan also has a master's degree in theology. Dan handles serious injury and medical malpractice cases in all 50 states. He represents many Christians in serious injury matters all over the country. Dan is an exceptional trial lawyer. He wrote the test for the National Board of Trial Advocacy. And currently his firm has over 100 cases that have settled for $1 million or more, and in approximately 10 different states. In Illinois, his lawyers had the fourth largest settlement in the state's history. In New York, his case involving a paralyzed police officer made the front page of the Law Journal. If you have a serious personal injury or medical malpractice claim in any state, I recommend that you call Dan. Consultations are free. There is no fee unless you win. Dan Buttafuoco's number is 1-800-669-4878. 1-800-669-4878. Or email me for Dan's contact information at chrisarnson@gmail.com. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nestle Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to ptlbiblerebinding.com. That's ptlbiblerebinding.com.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005. The publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm author Gary DeMar, president of American Vision, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Dan Lebenick of West Hills Baptist Church in Huntington Station, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Justin Peters of Justin Peters Ministries, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Reverend Buzz Taylor, author of God's Lawsuit, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Dr. William Webster, pastor of Grace Bible Church in Battleground, Washington, founder of the ministry Christian Resources. The NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Ryan Galan of Central Islip Community Church in Central Islip, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Brandon Smith of Trinity Reformed Baptist Church in Jackson, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Thrivent Financial is not your typical financial services provider. As a membership organization, we help Christians be wise with money and live generously every day. And for the fourth year in a row, we were named one of the world's most ethical companies by the Ethisphere Institute, a leading international think tank dedicated to the creation, advancement, and sharing of best practices in business ethics. Contact me, Mike Gallagher, financial consultant, at 717-254-6433. Again, 717-254-6433 to learn more about the Thrivent Difference.
We know we were made for so much more than ordinary life.
Blending faith, finances, and generosity. That's the Thrivent story.
We were made to thrive.
Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, announcing a new website with an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World Now at no charge for 90 days by going to getworldnow.com. That's getworldnow.com. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. There's no obligation and no credit card required. Visit GetWorldNow.com today. Also check out World News Group's podcast, The World and Everything in It, at WNG.org/podcast. That's W for World, N for News, G for Group, .org/podcast.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm author Gary DeMar, president of American Vision,
and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Dan Lebenick of West Hills Baptist Church in Huntington Station, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Justin Peters of Justin Peters Ministries, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Reverend Buzz Taylor, author of God's Lawson, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Dr. William Webster, pastor of Grace Bible Church in Battleground, Washington, founder of the ministry Christian Resources. The NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Ryan Galan of Central Islip Community Church in Central Islip, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Brandon Smith of Trinity Reformed Baptist Church in Jackson, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB and tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Have you been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron Radio? We remain on the air because of our faithful sponsors and because of listeners like you. There are four ways you can help. First, do you know potential sponsors who may wish to advertise their goods or services on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio? Second, whenever possible, purchase the products or use the services that our sponsors advertise. And then let them know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Thirdly, you can also donate to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio by going to our website at ironsharpensironradio.com and click support at the top of the page. But most importantly, keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in your prayers. We hope that Iron Sharpens Iron Radio blesses you for many years to come.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio depends upon the financial support of fine Christian organizations to remain on the air, like the Historical Bible Society. The Historical Bible Society maintains a collection of Christian books, manuscripts, and Bibles of historical significance spanning nearly 1,000 years. The mission of HBS is the preservation and public display of ancient scripture, dissemination of scripture, to provide tools equipping believers in Christian apologetics with evidence for the Bible's reliability, and to introduce Reformation literature and Christian art to a broader audience. Since 2004, HBS has toured schools and churches throughout the Northeast United States, reaching thousands of believers and non-believers alike who are hungry for knowledge of the Bible. HBS's founder, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, is committed to sharing this collection along with an inspirational historical message that will captivate you and your church. Come journey through their website, historicalbiblesociety.org. The collection includes a complete 11th century Bible, an actual page of the Gutenberg Bible from 1455, the first book ever printed, the Geneva Bible, the 1611 King James Bible, and much, much more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org today. Thank you, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, for your faithful support of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I have been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformed.com.
hopereformedali.net. That's hopereformedali.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
Iron Sharpens Iron welcomes Solid Rock Remodeling to our family of sponsors. Serving South Central Pennsylvania, Solid Rock Remodeling is focused on discovering, understanding, and exceeding your expectations. They deliver personalized project solutions with exceptional results. Solid Rock Remodeling offers a full range of home renovations, including kitchen and bath remodeling, decks, porches, windows and doors, roof and siding, and more. For a clear, detailed professional estimate, call this trustworthy team of problem solvers who provide superior results that stand the test of time. Call Solid Rock Remodeling at 717-697-1981, 717-697-1981, or visit solidrockremodeling.com. That's solidrockremodeling.com. Solid Rock Remodeling, bringing new life to your home.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And don't forget, folks, please always make solid-ground-books.com your first stop for all your gift-giving needs, whether they be for birthday gifts, whether they be for wedding anniversary gifts, whether they be to congratulate someone and show them support on their baptism, perhaps a bereavement gift for someone you know who has lost a precious loved one, a retirement gift, a back-to-school gift. We could go on and on and on with reasons why you give gifts. Go to solid-ground-books.com. And please keep in mind, don't only purchase gifts for your Christian brothers and sisters from solid-ground-books.com. Keep in mind the lost folks in your life, those you love, who you want to see in heaven one day. Gifts from solid-ground-books.com might be used of God to draw them to an eternal relationship with Jesus Christ. So don't count them out. Perhaps even put them first and foremost on your list when buying gifts at solid-ground-books.com. Always mention Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio whenever you're making a purchase. We rely upon solid-ground-books.com to exist. They are a key, a vital sponsor of this program, without whose support we would likely not be on the air, barring a miracle of God. So always purchase as much as you can from solid-ground-books.com. Before we return to our discussion on critical race theory with our guest today, Phil Johnson, I just have a couple of announcements to make. Our friends at Ligonier Ministries contacted me today requesting that I make an announcement for them. They have always been very supportive of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and I do dearly miss Dr. R.C. Sproul, that's for sure. But they have asked me to announce that the Ligonier Ministries State of Theology Survey, which provides insights on how Americans view a wide range of Christian beliefs, the comprehensive report providing key findings on beliefs about God, truth, the Bible, worship, and ethical issues conducted by Ligonier Ministries along with Lifeway Research. This survey, which polled a national representative sample of U.S. adults, will have their full results for the 2020 survey available online tomorrow. That is Tuesday, the 8th of September. You could go to thestateoftheology.com, thestateoftheology.com, to see the full 2020 results. Don't go there today because you're going to be getting the 2018 results. Go Tuesday, September 8th, for the full results of the State of Theology survey. That's thestateoftheology.com. And for more information on Ligonier Ministries, go to ligonier.org. That's ligonier.org. Also, folks, if you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and you don't want us to disappear from the airwaves, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. We are in urgent need of your financial help, especially since we lost our two largest financial supporters due to the hysteria connected with the coronavirus pandemic. Their businesses were hurt so significantly and so negatively impacted that they had to at least temporarily postpone giving to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And that has dug a deep financial hole for us. So please help us make up for that huge loss by going to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You could donate instantly with a debit or credit card, or you can mail in a check made payable to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio to the address that appears on your screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com. You can also advertise with us as long as whatever it is you're promoting is compatible with what we believe here. You don't have to believe identically with me on every jot and tittle, but you need to be promoting something that's at the very least compatible with what I believe. Send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put advertising in the subject line. Also, folks, please never siphon money away from your regular giving to your local church where you are a member in order to give to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. In other words, don't put less money in your own collection plate because you're giving to us. We don't want to hurt the local church, which this show exists really first and foremost, not only to proclaim the gospel, but also to serve as a platform for the local church and for biblically faithful pastors, not to take away from their ministry. So please don't punish them financially by giving to us. Also, never put your own family in jeopardy. If you're struggling to make ends meet, don't put your own family and your own household in jeopardy by giving to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Those two things are commands of Scripture, providing for your church and your own family. Providing for my radio show is obviously not a command of God in Scripture, but if you are financially blessed above and beyond your ability to obey those two commands, you have extra money, perhaps you have a lot of extra money because the coronavirus pandemic hysteria has prevented you from going to your favorite sporting events, has prevented you from going to the movies, to theatrical performances, to go out fine dining. Perhaps you haven't been going to Bible conferences and other things that you used to spend a lot of money on, and you have a lot of that money saved. Well, I would be more than happy to take all of that money off your hands by going to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. Please help us if you want us to stay on the air. Also, folks, if you are not a member of a local Bible-believing church, you didn't even know one existed in your area, no matter where you live in the world, I may be able to help you find a church because I have lists of biblically faithful churches all over the planet Earth, and I've already helped many people in our audience find biblically faithful churches, sometimes within minutes of where they live, that they didn't even know were there. Send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put "I need a church" in the subject line. And that goes for if you're looking for a church when you're going on vacation, or perhaps you have a loved one who is without a church home, no matter where they live on the planet Earth, I may be able to help them as well. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put "I need a church" in the subject line. That's also the email address where you can send in questions for our guest, Phil Johnson, the Executive Director of Grace to You Ministries, the media ministry of Dr. John MacArthur, on our theme, "Can Critical Race Theory Be Reconciled with Scripture?" That's chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. We have Grady, a faithful listener and faithful financial supporter of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in Asheboro, North Carolina. Grady says, "Greetings, brothers Chris and Phil. I didn't even know what critical race theory was until the last Together for the Gospel conference that Dr. MacArthur spoke at. When did you realize this was trying to be pushed on the church?"
Well, for me, I think it was probably that same year in an earlier conference, as I recall, by the Gospel Coalition, where they devoted virtually the entire conference, if not literally the entire conference, devoted to the issue of social justice. And the idea of critical race theory kept coming up. And it prompted me to look into it more. I've heard the term for several years, probably, and had just never, after the demise of the emerging church movement, it didn't occur to me that this would become a major thrust among evangelicals. Even though I had predicted when the emerging church movement died, I made the comment then that the movement may be dead, but a lot of the ideas that they threw out there into the evangelical movement would be like so many dandelion seeds that that would ultimately sprout, you know, and some of the same ideas that we fought against in the emerging church would become popular evangelical concepts. This is one of them. I didn't really anticipate it. I probably should have. But I began to look into it at that point and realized this is nothing more than neo-Marxism. It has clear roots in Marxism and atheistic left-wing theology. It's just been imported into the church and you know, covered with a veneer of evangelical terminology, but that's really what it is leftist ideology attempting to find its way into the evangelical movement. It's actually been being promoted by groups like Sojourners for maybe more than 40 years. But Sojourners used to be kind of an outlier as far as evangelicals were concerned, but now I would say they probably represent maybe even the dominant opinion among evangelicals today, if you look at the evangelical movement.
Well, thank you, Grady. Always good to hear from you. And we have an anonymous listener who says, "I am always greatly encouraged listening to Pastor John MacArthur. As far as I understand, he is convinced now that America is reaping the harvest of destruction for which it has sown, Romans 1, and says it will get worse. Do you think there will be a revolution in America?"
I think that is the pattern. That's certainly the pathway that the nation is on and the whole culture. And I can't predict the future, wouldn't pretend to. There have been times in history like this where, you know, entire empires have been destroyed from within by their own degeneracy. And you see that happening to America. But there are other times in history where a huge decline like this is suddenly turned around through a revival of gospel influence. And so I'm actually hoping for the latter and want to see evangelicals get back to proclaiming the gospel and get out of all the you know, political stuff.
Well, thank you, Anonymous. We have another anonymous listener who says, "I have, for nearly my entire Christian life, benefited enormously from Dr. D.A. Carson's writings and speaking engagements. I am baffled as to how he could be connected with these things. Should we stop reading and listening to Dr. Carson? Should we contact him to voice our protest to this woke movement garbage? What is your opinion? Because I know that Dr. MacArthur has also shared a respect for Dr. Carson as well."
Yeah, I'm reluctant to answer a question like that. I would never write off a person completely just because he holds a troublesome opinion, unless that becomes the very heart of his message. I haven't really followed Dr. Carson closely enough to know, you know, how much this dominates what he's saying, what he's writing right now. I would say, though, that it concerns me because he is one of the founders and most influential people in the Gospel Coalition. And the fact that the Gospel Coalition seems to be devoted to pursuing this direction at the cost of, you know, support from evangelical people who see the danger of it. And I share the listener's concern about why he doesn't see it and why he hasn't used his influence to help try to turn it around. But in the meantime, my advice to my answer to the question would be, I think you have to evaluate everything he writes on its own merits, because it's true that some of what he writes is quite good. And so, you know, evaluate everything and hold fast to that which is good. That biblical principle applies to a question like this.
And in fact, I think the listener has a good point at suggesting or asking if he should contact Dr. Carson in any way he possibly can through either the Gospel Coalition or, I don't know, is he still teaching at Trinity Evangelical Divinity School in Deerfield, Illinois?
I'm not sure about that either.
But contact him and say, "Hey, brother, I love what you have contributed to the body of Christ. What are you doing? You know, isn't there a completely legitimate and right thing to do?"
It is. It is. It's of limited value, but I think it's an important thing to do because one letter probably isn't going to change his mind or even arrest his attention. But if enough people do that, then I think there comes a point where someone like Dr. Carson even has to step back and take a look at the big picture and maybe reevaluate the direction he's going.
Yeah, I happen to... Go ahead, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, it can't hurt.
Yeah, I happen to share my listeners' love for Dr. Carson's writings and have benefited greatly. Have always been baffled by him being enamored by Tim Keller. Tim Keller has never sat right with me, even though a lot of my brothers who believe nearly identically to what I believe, if not completely identically, have held Dr. Keller in very high esteem. I've never understood it, although I'm not writing off everything he's said or written by any stretch of the imagination. I just don't understand the affection for him at the level that it is being demonstrated. And especially somebody as discerning as Dr. Carson has appeared to be. And I've had Dr. Carson on this show. And ironically, this is by the way, years ago when I was broadcasting out of New York before this critical race theory was raising its ugly head in reform circles anyway. And ironically, it was about the same time that I also interviewed Thabiti Anyabwile and Anthony Bradley, who are now movers and shakers in this movement, who, when I interviewed them 9 years ago, were completely opposed to the kind of rhetoric that is dominant in these things. In fact, they were both mocking the mindset of these things 9 years ago on my show, and it's a mystery. Especially when you have Thabiti Anyabwile writing a really phenomenal, extraordinary book, I think, that, from what I recall, I agreed with every word in The Decline of African-American Theology. And he even traced the beginning of the decline to not only the 60s civil rights movement, but even more so, initially, to the abolitionist movement when it became a secular rather than Christian movement, when it devolved into a secular movement. He lays the fault of the decline of African-American theology at the root of the secularization of the abolitionist movement to where the genesis of the decline began. And I don't think he would ever say that publicly today.
Yeah, no, I agree, and I've pointed out to I think as long ago as 4 or 5 years ago, I wrote a blog post pointing out the discrepancy between what Thabiti was saying in the early years of Together for the Gospel, contrasted with what he's saying now. He was saying then that, look, if you get into all these social issues and everything, you've gone off message. And my answer was, by his own standard, what he was saying in the early days, he's gone off message. I recently saw a tweet from him, I think just this weekend, where he said he regrets the years when evangelicals and himself were involved in theological discussions, because he thinks that made us too argumentative, and he wishes there was less argumentativeness. Now, and I don't know if that means he wishes people would disagree with him less. I don't know. But I think anybody who dispassionately analyzes what he's written over his career can see a shift. And not to pick on him, the original question was about D.A. Carson. And I'll broaden it and say, I think a lot of men in evangelical leadership have far too much concern for academic respectability, and what's going on in the trends of not only the Christian Academy, but the secular academy. They don't want to do or say anything that is politically incorrect. And so political correctness has far too much influence on what the leaders in the evangelical movement will say or do say. It's why you see so few of these men are really courageous, prophetic voices saying what nobody else is saying. A lot of them simply echo what's already popular in the popular culture. I think they have the misconception that somehow that's the way to win the world. Let's be what the world wants. Let's be what the world likes. Let's do what we see happening in the world. And that goes back to the problem of pragmatism that I talked about in the early part of the first hour. I think we've inherited, after several generations of pragmatism, a tendency far too much among evangelicals to care what the world thinks of us, as opposed to being faithful to what Christ has commissioned us to do.
Amen. We have RJ in White Plains, New York, who asks, to your knowledge, has Dr. MacArthur lost close friendships over his opposition to critical race theory? And has he voluntarily, on his own accord, ended relationships because of it?
I'll answer the second question first. No, I don't think he's voluntarily ended any friendships or relationships. And I don't think he would say that he's lost any friends over it. I don't think he'd use that kind of language. But what he would say is that friendships that were once close and deeply personal just don't seem to be that way anymore. I don't think there's anyone who you know, now shows him animosity that didn't used to. But there are men who used to stand shoulder to shoulder with him in theological battles who have been, I mean, notoriously, obviously, backing away from him in some of the issues that he's been under fire for recently.
We have Harrison in Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania, who asks, I don't know how much you have familiarity with the Southern Baptist Seminary or the Southern Baptist Convention in general, but do you see a collapse in the future over this critical race theory that they seem to be very soft on, if not outright endorsing?
I wouldn't say a collapse, but I think it's inevitable that there's going to be a split. And I think it's a mirror of what happened during the conservative resurgence in the 80s and thereabout, when there was a battle between moderates and conservatives over control of the denomination. And conservatives won that battle. I don't know how this one's going to come out, because it seems to me that the majority of leading voices in the convention right now are either completely on board with or silently acquiescent to the thrust to make social justice and critical race theory and intersectionality sort of defining features of the Southern Baptist message. And maybe that's not how they would state their intention, but I think that's how it's become. And you've got a handful of voices that have opposed that, Tom Askell and some others. Tom has been the main one, and they're distinctly in the minority. And yet I think for the rank and file Southern Baptist Church member, they don't seem to be, in my opinion, all that comfortable with the thrust towards social justice and I would say a blended gospel where you're blending the message of Christ and what he has done with a call for, you know, social reconstruction or whatever. I don't think the person in the pew is all that favorable towards that. So, and I don't see it as a resolvable conflict. I think it's already gone too far in variant directions. And I think in the future, if not sooner, perhaps later, the Southern Baptist Convention will split into two groups. And I hate to see that, but I think there are enough people still faithful to the simplicity of the biblical gospel that they'll find it impossible, I think, to fellowship with and support people who want to make social justice just one leg of a three-legged gospel stool, or however they would describe it.
I've actually never been a big fan of denominations anyway. I don't understand how, for instance, the wonderful folks who are firm advocates of the doctrines of sovereign grace can be in the same denomination with people who are outspoken enemies of those things. I'm not talking about people that just don't believe in them, but think, hey, you know, we'll be friends to the end of time, but you go to your church and I'll go to mine. I'm not talking about those. I'm talking about those who are hostile enemies to the doctrines of grace. I don't know how you could link arms in the same denomination with them, let alone something as insane as the woke movement.
Yeah. That is the difficulty with any large organization. I mean, when we talk about Big Eva, we're talking about the large organizations like the Gospel Coalition and the Southern Baptist Convention, which have purposely tried to broaden their boundaries enough to bring in a more and more people, as opposed to clarifying their convictions in a way that eliminates people who aren't completely on board with the central thrust of the denomination. And the effect, this is true of the evangelical movement as a whole as well, the effect is it's a movement that's defined by its diversity and rather than its unity, and that, it seems to me, on the face of it, goes against every biblical principle, and it makes it necessary to water down the message. If you're trying to keep a coalition of people together who don't share the same theological convictions, then you're going to have to soften some of your statements or even compromise some of your convictions in order to keep the coalition together. And that always ends in disaster. I don't understand why people think that's better than having a smaller group of people who are truly like-minded, but that's how it is. And it seems to me that there's a biblical principle at play here as well, in that, I mean, if you look at the history of Old Testament Israel, it was always the small remnant that remained faithful to Yahweh, and he preserved his message and his people through the remnant, not through the majority. And I think that's still true in the church today. It's the reason the majority of churches in America, I'm just talking about, you know, buildings with steeples and groups of people who met and professed to be Christians, the majority of them are apostate. The entire range of mainstream denominations sold out to the social gospel with some of the same principles that we're seeing compromised today 100 years ago. And so, again, history is cyclical. We know where this is going to end, and the Lord will preserve his message and his people through a remnant.
By the way, since you mentioned our mutually dear friend, Dr. Tom Askell, I wanted to plug his ministry. Very valuable ministry within the Southern Baptist Convention, Founders Ministries. It's called Founders because all of the founders of the Southern Baptist Convention in the 19th century were thoroughgoing five-point Calvinists. And the website for that ministry is founders.org, founders.org. And Dr. Tom Askell actually has an article right at the top right now anyway. It's right at the top of founders.org, a brief critique of critical race theory. And there's also information on their upcoming Bible conference on the doctrine of God that you could register for, which is taking place January 21st through the 23rd in 2021. And there's a treasure trove of other information there at founders.org. We have to go to our final break right now. It's going to be a lot more brief than the last two breaks. If you want to join us with a question, do so now because we're rapidly running out of time. ChrisArnzen@gmail.com. ChrisArnzen@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least your city and state, or your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Phil Johnson after these messages from our sponsors.
Was your business shut down during the COVID-19 pandemic, depriving you of earning any money, causing you to default on your rent as you try to survive without income? Maybe you've had to close your doors for good. The good news, you thought, was that you purchased business interruption insurance as a part of your business liability policy with a major insurance company who told you they are a good neighbor, or that you would be in good hands. You filed a claim only to be told that it was denied due to the pandemic exclusion clause. The pandemic exclusion? Since 2006, most insurance companies added this clause to enable them to deny your income loss claims in the event of a worldwide pandemic. Do not give up. No matter what state you live in, call Buttafuoco & Associates now at 1-800-669-4878. Buttafuoco & Associates is a part of a large multi-district litigation, and they are working with lead counsel to bring what they believe will be a successful lawsuit for these claims. It is the best way for you to proceed. There's absolutely no risk to you. You do not have to pay them out of pocket, and there is no fee unless you recover on your claim. You need to call 1-800-669-4878 right now. Trust the law firm where the attorneys at one of the largest business firms on Long Island, New York, are sending their own clients for representation during this lawsuit. Buttafuoco & Associates, here to help business owners rebuild their lives in the wake of the pandemic. Call 1-800-669-4878.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nestle Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's L-E-E-S, drugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
Greetings in the matchless name of our Lord Jesus Christ. My name is Banu Gotti. I'm a pharmacist in New York, which is the epicenter of the latest crisis the world is going through. In Psalm 139, verse 14, the psalmist offers praise to the Lord like this: I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and wondrous are your works that my soul knows very well. He saw God's goodness and mercy, kindness, and the beauty in what God has designed, and he has erupted into praise. In any crisis or problem, brothers and sisters, our only fallback position is to trust God's design. And once we do, there is nothing for us to do but to erupt in praise to him. When the whole world is searching for a solution, God, in his infinite mercy, has given us what we need to address this illness, which can be very serious. Such is the beauty of his design. Knowing that design, how can we not erupt in praise to our great God like the psalmist did? May God bless you and give all of us wisdom to see greater things in his design. Thank you.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com, and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Pastor Nate Pickowitz of Harvest Bible Church in Gilmanton Ironworks, New Hampshire, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rich Jensen of Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Sule Prince of Oakwood Wesleyan Church in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor John Sampson of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck Volo of New Life Community Church in Kingsville, Maryland, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Steve Herford of Eastport Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Roy Owens, Jr. of the Church at Friendship in Hockley, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasser wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so, and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries and the Dividing Line webcast here. Although God has brought me all over the globe for many years to teach, preach, and debate at numerous venues, some of my very fondest memories are from those precious times of fellowship with Pastor Rich Jensen and the brethren at Hope Reformed Baptist Church, now located at their new beautiful facilities in Coram, Long Island, New York. I've had the privilege of opening God's Word from their pulpit on many occasions, have led youth retreats for them, and have always been thrilled to see their members filling many seats at my New York debates. I do not hesitate to highly recommend Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, to anyone who wants to be accurately taught, discipled, and edified by the Holy Scriptures, and to be surrounded by truly loving and caring brothers and sisters in Christ. I also want to congratulate Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram for the recent appointment of Pastor Rich Jensen's co-elder, Pastor Christopher McDowell. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net, or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, that you heard about them from James White on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Welcome back. And Phil Johnson, we have a question for you from BB in Cumberland County, Pennsylvania. BB asks, do you think that an advocacy of the woke movement would warrant church discipline in a biblically faithful church?
I don't know about church discipline. I definitely would, if someone in our church began to advocate wokeism, I would try to persuade the elders, and it wouldn't take much persuasion. Our elders, I think, would instruct him to stop it. And if then he continued, then it would be grounds for church discipline. I wouldn't automatically discipline someone for holding a wrong belief or talking about it, but I would give them a word of caution and say that's essentially a heretical secular religion, and it's not to be promoted here at our church. And then if he continued, yes, you'd have to excommunicate him.
Well, perhaps you should clarify what you just said. You said you wouldn't want somebody to be disciplined over a belief. Obviously, if they were outright denying the deity of Christ or the gospel, that would be a call for immediate discipline of some kind.
Right, yeah. Well, not immediate. You go through the process. You warn them. There are actually two processes. Matthew 18, you go privately and personally to the person, and if he fails to hear, you go back with one or two witnesses, and if he fails to hear them, then you tell it to the church. And if he fails to respond even to that appeal from the whole church, then he's excommunicated. In Titus 3, it says you've got a divisive person, that is someone who's trying to split the church, then you reject him, meaning you excommunicate him after one or two warnings. If the person is being divisive with it, then yes, you foreshorten the process, but there's still a process before you can excommunicate somebody. You don't summarily excommunicate somebody without any kind of warning or process.
Yes, I perhaps used wrong terminology, but what I meant was that being in and of itself a beginning of the church discipline process.
Yep.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
That's right. You start the process.
Well, I'm going to give you 3 minutes, if you could, summarize what you most want etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners about this subject today.
It would be that critical race theory, wokeism, the gospel of social justice, all these things are interlinked, and all of them come not from Scripture, but from secular culture. And they should not be brought into the church any more than any other false ideology from the world should be imported into the church. If you do that, it will corrupt the gospel. Every false ideology that has ever been brought into the church does ultimately corrupt the gospel, and this one's no different. And in fact, if anything, this is more pernicious, because wokeism, critical race theory, actually are designed to sow discord and division, to put people in class and race groups and ethnic groups, and create tension between them. The ultimate goal of the Marxist who promotes this sort of thing is to see the meltdown of society so that he can rebuild society according to his own socialist agenda. But you have the same effect in the church. You import these ideas into the church, and it will increase the amount of division you see. And we see that already in the broad evangelical movement just in the past 5 years. So be wary of this. Be very cautious about anything you read or imbibe, even if it sounds good, because it uses Christian terminology and blends it with terms like social justice. Don't buy it. Look for biblical teaching. Look for ideologies that are rooted and grounded in Scripture. And if you hear an idea that is an echo of something that's being promoted in the secular world, it's not going to be good for the church.
Okay, we have a final anonymous question. Isn't it easy to get so overwhelmed by all the riots and violence and all the political correctness and the fusion of social gospel with the clear gospel that we can forget that it's a huge... Oh, the question disappeared. That we can forget that it's a huge spiritual battle that we should be in prayer and fasting for.
Yeah, it is easy to forget that. And Scripture constantly reminds us, and Ephesians 6 reminds us, too, that it's not flesh and blood that we're wrestling against. And even the purveyors of you know, neo-Marxism in the secular world, they're not our enemies, they're our mission field. And what we're really warring against are ideologies and powers that, principalities and powers as well, that are under the control of Satan and exist in the spiritual realm. And it is a spiritual battle, so we must arm ourselves with prayer and the truth of Scripture, and that's the battle we fight. Paul describes it in 2 Corinthians 10, that our job is to tear down false ideologies and liberate the people who are enslaved to those wrong ideologies. So again, all the people who are rioting and promoting these ideas, they're ultimately not our chief enemies. They are the mission field. Our goal should be to win them.
Okay, and I remind you that the Grace to You website is gty.org, gty.org. Thank you, Phil. Thank you, everybody who listened. I hope you all always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.